Welcome everyone back to Hunter Logan Unmiked. I am Hunter Logan. When we left off last time, we were talking about being in Buckrow Beach, Virginia. I was up there for tech school, me and Roland both. We drove up there after getting married. Her dad let me take his brand new Nissan Sentra. And of course, all the brothers and sisters were mad about that because they couldn't drive it, but he gave it to me to let me use it. About this time, I'm finished up with tech school, graduated, and I got my orders, and I'm going to Germany. Now, I've never been to Germany, so I don't know what to expect. But we got 30 days leave before I got to go. So we head on back home to Louisiana. And while we're there, we're going to visit everyone, say our goodbyes, do a little partying before we go, throw some parties and stuff. But my wife, because I got married after the military, after I joined, she wasn't on my orders. So I had to get her added to my orders. So I had to go to Germany before she did. And once I get there, I could add her on. And then she would fly and come meet me. I think it was about, I want to say a month later, maybe 4 to 6 weeks later, she would come and meet me in Germany. I get to Germany, and again, it's quite a culture shock for me at first because we land in Frankfurt. There is snow piled up. I'm talking about 6 to 8 feet on the sides of the runway. And I'm looking at that. I'm looking at that and I'm saying, what in the world? Because I've never seen snow that much. Like, I remember in, I want to say, maybe third grade or fourth grade, it snowed one time in Louisiana, right? And it wasn't much. I mean, it was just enough to cover the ground. But snow like that, I've never seen that in my entire life. So, arrive in Frankfurt, which is about, if I remember correctly, I think it was about an hour and a half to 2 hours away from the base that I was stationed at. So I have what they call a sponsor, and he's there to pick me up from the airport and bring me back to the base. I'll never forget it. Sergeant Campbell, that was my sponsor. Great guy. So I get to the airport there, and I'm looking for a military guy. But thing is there a bunch of military? There is a bunch of military guys there. He finds me, makes the introduction, and we get on and we start talking. I don't remember what we were talking about because I'm looking. I am looking all around. First time I ever get on the Autobahn. And I'm looking at the speedometer, and I forget what he had, what we were driving in. We're doing like, I don't know, 160 clicks, I think it was, because they're in kilometers, which would be 80 or 90 miles an hour, I think, maybe. I think 160 was 90 or something like that. It's hard for me to remember. We're going pretty good. But there's people passing us like we're sitting still. And there's, I don't know, like 6 lanes on each side. I'm like, wow. And then, you know, crossing over the Rhine River. And you see these castles. And then there's this other castle. And he says, hey, man, that castle right there, that's the monks. They brew this beer called Permanators. We call them Terminators. I said, okay. He said, they come in these bottles like mortar shells. I'm like, what? Yeah, he says they're made, and that's what we'd call them, mortar shells, come to find out. But they would look, the bottle looked like a mortar shell, like what you would load a 30 millimeter gun with. That stuff, it was potent. That's why they called it a Terminator. I would come to find out that beer in Germany had double the alcohol that American beer did. And it was pretty stout. That's why I like Germany so much, I guess. So I'd already developed a great taste for alcohol. I love beer. Love drinking. So what I come to find out is that the German culture was just like the Cajun culture. So this was like, it was going to be okay. And when I say the culture was the same, you got to understand something. Cajun culture, they have a festival for everything. They got the frog festival. They got the mosquito festival. They got the crawfish festival. They got the duck festival. They got the sausage festival. They got a festival for everything you can imagine. And they got Cajun bands and plenty of drinking going on. That's what you have down here. It's Cajun culture. So Cajun band, you know, chanky, 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 chanky. And can't understand the words they're saying half the time. But you're drinking and who's care? Everybody's partying and having a good time. Well, come to find out, every little town over there in Germany, they have a festival too. And whether it's a pig festival or a rhubarb festival or whatever festival it is, of course, their big fest is Oktoberfest, but I mean, every little town has a little festival as well. And they have what they call, or what we call, oompa music, because they go oompa pa, oompa pa, oompa pa, oompa pa. Their version of Cajun music, right? Well, they're singing in German. Well, I can't understand that either. But they're drinking. They're drinking and partying and having a good time. And they're cooking food. And I'm like, man, this is just like being in Louisiana, really. Except most of the time it's cold and up in the mountains. Because we were in the Eiffel region, so it's a lot of mountains up there. Down here in Louisiana, which is all flat and hot. So I'm still going to festivals. I'm still drinking. I still can't understand the language. But there's still music. Cool thing was, though, I end up hooking up with some guys. One of the guys was German. And we start playing some of these festivals. So here I am getting to play some of the festivals just like I was doing here. So it was just like, really was not that big of a culture shock, really. And you start to pick up on some of the local, or you start to pick up some of the language. You make friends with some of the people that worked on base who were German. Now, I will tell you this, the older Germans, the people that were my parents' age and older, they still didn't like the Americans. They still held bitterness from the war. They did. But the kids that were our age and younger, they didn't have that. They didn't have that resentment and that hostility. It wasn't there. They were cool. They really were. So that didn't carry on that way. But the older Germans, they didn't like the Americans too much. And we found that to be true. We had a good experience in Germany. We really liked it. In fact, when we got back to the States, we were like, man, we shouldn't have left. And then one of the things, too, when we got back here is we realized that the subsidies we got for being overseas, that was a big cut in money. Because when we got stationed in Florida, our money got cut big time. And it was like, whew, that's an adjustment we didn't expect to make. We didn't realize that. We thought we were going to keep making the same amount of money we were making in Germany, because they give you a living allowance over there to make up for a lot. Well, you lose a lot of that when you come back stateside. We didn't know that either. That was a story in all itself. But anyway, so here we are in Germany. My wife comes to meet me in, I'm going to say, 4 to 6 weeks or whatever. Again, we're kids. I turned 20 on the 1st of September. We got married on the 5th of September and the 6th of September as well. Remember, I got married twice. We got married just at the Peace in Wichita Falls, Texas, and then did the church wedding when we come back before I went to tech school. So I married her twice. I'm just a few days at 20. And she's just 17. And here we are in a foreign country, can't speak the language, two spoiled, rotten kids. This can't turn out good. But there would be a benefit to this. There really would be. And I say this often, and because, and I think this was an advantage, although we had some problems, I think it was a big advantage to us for being that young. One, we couldn't afford to go home, first of all. Two, we really couldn't afford to call home. And there was such a big time difference that when we were up, everybody was sleeping over here. But it was still expensive to call. We didn't make that much money. It took pretty much what we had to get by. Calling all the time really wasn't an option. So we couldn't really afford to call. We didn't have any brothers or sisters, so it's not like any one of us could go to somebody's house and say, you know, have anybody else in our ear. And we didn't know anybody. And we didn't speak the language. So it was really just me and her. I think it was our first anniversary. Rolling would get so angry. And she's not like this anymore. But boy, she could hold a grudge. The Lord's really done a work with her. I forget what we got mad about, whatever it was. But she flipped the table. She put her hands through the door. And so 3 days, we don't say a word. We're in this apartment off base. I can't take it. The third day, I cannot take it. And I'm like, listen, I get that you're mad. And I don't even remember what it was about. It was something stupid. I said, but we're going to have to talk. I said, we have to talk. Whether we're mad or not, we are going to have to talk to each other. I said, we have to communicate. I said, I can't hack it. I said, there is no way that I can go and not talk. I said, I don't care if you want to tell me blankety blankety blank. And that, I was cussing at the time. We both were. I said, I don't care if that's what you want to tell me, but we have to talk. Say something. I said, if we do not communicate, I said, we'll never make it. I said, this is crazy. So it was actually at that time that we decided to never go to bed mad at each other. Now, nobody taught us that. And for some reason, we just decided on our own that we would do that then. I don't know how we figured that out, but we decided at that point, we're not going to go to bed mad at each other ever again. So whatever we have wrong, we're going to talk it out. We're going to figure it out. And we're not going to go to bed mad at each other ever again. Now, there might be some times we won't go to bed. But we're not going to go to bed mad at each other. We are not going to do that. So when I say that that helped us, not being able to call home, not being able to go home, not being able to go to her, not being able to go to any of her brothers or sisters. I didn't have any to go to anyway. Not being able to go to, we didn't have friends yet. I mean, we didn't have nobody close. So that really helped us because it forced us to communicate with each other. Because we're kids. We're still kids. 20 and 17. Spoiled, rotten kids. She was the baby of the family. I was an only child. And remember, I'm still dealing with the divorce. I haven't got counseling yet. I'm just trying to figure out. All I know is I got to make something of myself because I can't keep floundering around like I'm doing. And I'm still dealing with situations that I haven't been able to. And like I said, I'm not going to talk about those situations out of respect and privacy for my daughter and her mother. I'm keeping that closed. But I mean, you know, there's situations there I'm dealing with along with everything else. So here we are. We finally kind of going again, kind of where we can communicate. So that's helpful. Now we're still figuring it out. Because like I said, we're kids. But we have at least made the step to communicate. So after about a year being there and getting settled in, find out which guys are playing music. And I get in the band with them. They find out I play, find out I sing. And then guys are constantly leaving and coming. So you kind of just take a spot. Well, I didn't have any of my stuff with me, like my guitar, my amp. I didn't know that you could bring any of that stuff. I didn't know that you could have any of that stuff. I was able to get in this band, but I didn't have my amp or guitar. So my father-in-law and mother-in-law are coming over to visit. And my father-in-law packs up my amp and my guitar and brings it over, flies it with him, and it makes it over here safe. So now I got my guitar, and now I got my amp, and I'm ready to play in the band. So now I'm playing music again on the weekends, but this time I have a job, which was better than when I was back in the States because I didn't have a job. I was pillar to post. But now I have a job, a place to live, and I'm able to play music. It's kind of like the best of both worlds for now. But I still got this thing deep inside of me. I still got this wanting to play music full time. But I'm under contract with Uncle Sam, so I can't do anything. I mean, that's just buried deep in there. It's not going nowhere. It's just buried deep in there, but it's just buried for right now. It just got a lid on it. It's kind of in a jar, closed up, sealed up. Can't go nowhere because you ain't getting out of Uncle Sam. And by the way, that is the longest job I ever had, the military. That's the longest job I ever had. But that's still tucked down in there somewhere. It ain't going nowhere. It would resurface later, as we'll talk about. But man, we're having a great time. We're now playing music. Roiland's coming with me. The other guys' wives would come too. So it wasn't like she was the only girl there. She was with other wives of the band. So, we all went together. And the thing about being stationed like that somewhere, those people become family with you. Because when you make friends with those folks, they're there without their family as well. So y'all kind of become family for that amount of time. So the whole time you're stationed there, you become close and y'all become family. They become your family because you don't have family. So those military folks are your family while you're there, while you're stationed there. And that's how it was. We were family with those band members, their wives and stuff. We got close. You know, we'd get together during the week. We'd all cook and eat at each other's houses. We'd get together on the weekends. And it was great, man. It was like, it kind of reminded me of how my mom would get together with her sister and stuff. And they'd come over to ours. And that's what it reminded me of. And especially when we had the kids and stuff. Because that's where the twins were born. It was in Germany. And when Roland first got to Germany, she was pregnant. She lost the baby. And that was a pretty traumatic experience. And the way they did it in the hospital there was really, Lord have mercy. That's a story all in itself. But she was trying so hard to get pregnant, so hard to get pregnant. And it wasn't happening. And the doctor told her, said, you know, sometimes when a lady tries so hard to get pregnant, there's this hormone that her brain releases that it just kills. It kills it. And it just, they say, if you'll quit trying so hard, you'll probably get pregnant. At this time, we were kind of fighting with each other quite a bit. And it was just, I guess, into the marriage about 3 years now. And she's like, you know what? I'm just going to go home. And I'm just going to go home early. You can come when you're done with your tour. As she was getting ready to go to the travel office, she said she put her hand on the door and she realized, wait a minute. I didn't start yet. So she went, got a pregnancy test, and sure enough. So she went to the doctor after that and she was pregnant. So when we found out, she actually ended up, it was twins. I was like, what? Man. So that was pretty exciting, man. So twins. She had two big old boys, not naturally, C-section, 6'1 and 6'4. That's a pretty good size for twins. Daryl and Dustin, that's the boys, 6'1 and 6'4. So we are kids raising kids now. That's what we are, kids raising kids. And that would prove to be interesting in itself. So now not only are we kids married, now we're kids married, but kids raising kids. And I could do a whole show on that. There's so much stuff I left out on the Germany thing, though. I could have did 3 or 4 episodes on Germany from the probably 16 different cars we went through to the getting kicked out of the restaurants to me setting Roiland's butt on fire in the restaurant. That was a heck of a story. Getting the wine and beer delivered straight to your house because we lived right next to a restaurant. Roiland burning the kitchen down. Well, she didn't burn it down because it was cinder blocks, but she burned it. It was a brand new. We were the first ones to live in this place. But she char-brawled the kitchen because she started a grease fire. The BMW we had, man, that sucker was fast. That was a cool car. Oh, we owned an Audi, a BMW, and a Mercedes all at once. We had 3. Sounds impressive, but those are just regular cars over there in Germany. The Ford Fiesta that fell on my hand, and just all I did was fracture my hand. But the whole car, without the wheel, fell on my hand, on the palm of my hand. There's a lot of stuff that happened in Germany in that 4.5 years that we were there. And then, of course, we got stationed in Florida after that, Fort Walton Beach, Florida. Got stationed stateside. And then Desert Storm happened, and then I got out the military right out of Desert Storm with the early out programs. The reason I don't want to make shows through all that is because I really want to get up to where we are now. And there's still a lot of stuff to get through. Because, like I said, I really want to get to where we are now and what's going on. I want to get us current. So I'm kind of going a little faster than I thought I was going to go. So I'm kind of just breezing through, but that's a lot of the stuff that happened in a short form, I guess. But when we come back for the next episode, I'll bring a stateside and I'll call it 28 and one single tear. That's what we'll call it, because that is when the lid comes off and that old dream surfaces back up. And that's when things really start getting. But I'm still in the dark years. We hadn't got to the darker years yet. I'm still in the dark years now. But still, God knows. And I really can't wait to get to the point we are now. To see what God done. But just to give you an idea of what everything he's brought us through. Brought me through. And how he put my marriage back together. Because starting there in Germany, it had already started on the course of deterioration. And I didn't even know it. Little by little, it was getting chipped away. I didn't even know it. Man, we serve a great God, though. That's God is good. So I know this episode was all over the place. I get it. But hopefully I'll do better on the next one. So that's going to be all for this week. Tune in for the next podcast. Of course, podcast is everywhere podcasts are. Stitcher, iTunes. Tune in. You can even get it off our website. Hey, until next time, God bless you, and I'll see you.